morning. Good morning, everybody. Are members of the board here?
Why are they sitting on
that side? Oh, okay, they're sitting on that side. All right, welcome to all the committee members and the members of the board and members of the media. This is the third day that we are proceeding with our inquiry. We concluded yesterday indicating that there is going to be a presentation from the Department of Communication. We've got Mr. Heli Matavate here. So we want to start off with that presentation, take the testimony and the information that comes from there. We throw it open for discussion to members of the committee, and that will be followed by further engagement and discussion with members of the board. So, Mr. Matavate, welcome to you. You can't hear me. Is that clear? Okay. So I was saying that we've got representatives from the department, and we want to start off with them. We call upon them to submit their presentation to the committee. And Mr. Matavate has just indicated that he hasn't got a written document, but he will make a written document available to members of the committee shortly. Over to you, Harry.
Here.
Just hold on. Where's the technician? Can we get the sound up? Can't hear. Okay, he's busy with it. All right, speak up, please, then.
Thank you very much, honorable members, for this invitation. My name is Harry Matavate. I'm the DDG for Finance and ICT Enterprise Development in the Guild. And one of my primary responsibilities is it the mic or
the mic? Thank you, Blake.
Is that clear? Okay, that sounds better. Hello.
Nice to see you.
Yeah. Okay, come up front.
Thank you, Chair. I think that's better. Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members, colleagues from the SABC. My name is Harry Matavate. I'm DDG for Finance and ICT Enterprise Development at the DOC. One of my prime responsibilities at the DOC is to assist and advise the minister on a number of issues for SOEs, ranging from compliance to CFMA, company law, corporate governance, and it is in that regard that I've been asked to come and make this presentation. My presentation will really focus on non-compliance matters by the SABC. And to start, I would say really overall the challenges which in my view, listening to discussions and debates in the committee are understood overall. And by that in the main, deal with legislative, its governance challenges, and financial management with particular emphasis on budgetary and financial controls. On governance, I've been asked to talk to the board, and I would focus this presentation on the board, and I think members had expressed that we also maybe need to look at management capacity at some point in time. To say that the challenges, and again this point was made over and over again, the challenges did not start. You know, they've been coming for some time. The last 2 or 3 years or so, these challenges have been coming for some time. It's not something that started overnight, and it's with that in mind that when the board was appointed in January 2008, it had an induction, and in the induction we took working together with the SABC, we ensured that part of the package of the induction was the PFMA, late Minister Kasabori would have talked the board through some of the challenges to begin to really try and acquaint them and really get, especially the new members, to see it on the challenges that we have on the SABC. And to that end, in fact, Minister Kasabori, I think it was in late February, wrote a detailed letter to the chairperson setting out where as DOC we're having challenges with SABC, challenges of non-compliance on, amongst others, submission of corporate plans, submissions of annual budgets, submissions of annual reports and quite a thereof. So the question kept on being asked to say, what has the DOC done? So I'm saying as early as January, when this board was appointed, Minister Kasabori being aware of that, we took steps in the inductions. We followed that with a letter, a detailed letter to the chairperson, setting out those challenges and preparing the board, you know, going forward. With that, the status, you find that the status almost over a year later, 15 months later, some of those challenges remain today. And I would talk in the main first to the non-compliance to the PFMA insofar as the submission of the corporate plans and by the entity is concerned. The corporate plan is important. It's a responsibility of the accounting authority, which is the board. They must submit a corporate plan to the DOC in terms of the PFMA within a month before the beginning of the new financial year. This is important because the corporate plan will contain key performance areas that will then translate into a shareholder compact between the minister and the board, you know. Having raised this issue with the board in February, in January, in the year 2008-09, the SABC did not comply with this requirement. We did not receive the corporate plan as stipulated by the PFMA, you know, 1 month before the beginning of the financial year. So that you started the financial year with the corporate plan and your performance monitoring could really be exercised over the period, over a proper financial year. That being the case, we had received the first submission in April, and that submission we had to return back to the SABC because we felt that there were a number of areas that needed to be corrected. And some of them is that I think the issue of planning for the public broadcaster and commercial broadcaster, separating those two in the corporate plan, I think it's an issue that we've been talking to the SABC for a number of times, and again that has been outstanding. I think the issue of the revenue growth being very ambitious, you know, I think in the plan the SABC had correctly identified the challenges that they face in terms of talk about new platforms, and therefore having challenges, but you have found the revenue ambition, the revenue growth being very, very ambitious. So we raised that. We said, you know, we need really to fix that. Budgeted loss for about 500 million without a borrowing plan, because again, you know, or a funding plan, because again, the PFMA is quite clear that an entity, SABC, which is a Schedule 2 entity, needs the approval of the Minister of Finance via our Minister to borrow. So without a funding plan, we then said, you know, we can't take this plan forward. We need to know, and it's part of the reason why we sent that. Of major concern to us as well was we had recognized that there were requests to fund news bureaus, yet they had been launched already. And in our interactions, we had said to them, but you can't. You know, first of all, there is a need for these things. The first thing to do is to get funding for them. And once you get funding, proper approvals, only then can you can you go in long? So you found that the sequencing is a bit problematic. Also, in that plan, I'm just highlighting some of the issues why we had to turn back that plan and advise Minister then that the then Minister not to approve it and sign the compact in April, as would have been the course. In the plan as well, there were requests for funding for your broadcasting migration, digital terrestrial television, of about 4.1 billion. I think Minister spoke to the BDM yesterday. What we had a challenge with in this regard is that there are no detailed plans that underpin this request. Because you need to, in an environment where you're competing for resources, you need to have detailed plans that really underpin the request. And we found that, without that, we can't. But we also have found that in some of the instances, the corporation would plan to receive the money in the financial year that the plan is submitted to the DOC. Was quite clearly the planning cycle is quite clear that you could only get such resources once the Minister of Finance tables an appropriation bill is approved by Parliament. So effectively, we'll say we're planning for failure, because if you plan to receive this money in this financial year, knowing full well, and these are issues that I'm saying we had raised previously. We had raised previously. So again, we had to raise them in that corporate plan. These matters were again raised with some members of the board in a bilateral meeting held on 17th April with the then late Minister of Communications and with some members of the board, 2008, yes. And a revised corporate plan was then submitted in August 2008. Okay, so I'll go then to maybe touch one or two items on the revised plan. The then late minister, we still had challenges with it, but we advised her to say let's approve the plan with conditions and some of the conditions, and we have felt that there's a bit of misalignment between funding requests and strategies of the SABC. We advised Minister to sign to approve the plan with a compact, which he did in October, end of October, 6 months before the end of the financial year, with a proviso that the areas where we felt the plan was deficient be submitted back to the DOC within a month or so, and to date, we haven't received that. I mean, we don't have that. You have found the same situation almost continuing with the corporate plan now submitted for this financial year. Now, the corporate plan I was talking about is the corporate plan for the year ending March this year. Now, for the corporate plan ending March next year, which we have received in time to the SABC, from the SABC, you have found some of those things continuing. Again, we looked at it, we advised the new minister, we briefed him that we have challenges with that corporate plan, and in part, I think the issues we raised there, again, coherent strategies, funding requests being planned for this financial year, I mean, issues that we've raised again and again and again at various forums with the SABC. And as I said, this corporate plan, the minister touched on it when he met Minister Nyanda now, when he met with members of the board earlier this month or last month. Various discussions we had at our levels now with executives. We had a number of discussions to try and address these issues. The plan is currently being considered. But I think the point I really want to make here is you have found these issues over and over and over again, despite attempts by the then late minister, despite attempts by the officials to say to the SABC, let's correct these things for the good of the SABC. I mean, we have five other entities in the DOC, and those entities, almost you're finding that, you know, the plans get approved, get submitted in time. You might have delays, but the shareholders' complaints get signed. So it's if you like, it's an exception, you know, if you like. The other area where we really have had challenges with the SABC had to do with submission of its budgets, annual budgets. I mean, the planning processes of the state are quite clear, they are rigid, and it's important that we made the guidelines in the budget in the last two financial years, before this one, we couldn't submit it because we received it late to the National Treasury. Despite attempts by ourselves to write to the SABC to say Treasury will give us guidelines, you know, in fact, what we did, we became a bit proactive because the guidelines sometimes tended to come out late. So we'd use the previous year's guidelines and say, this is the guidelines, this is what we require. In terms of operational budgets, this is the information. In terms of CAPEXs, these are the requirements. Let's start preparing. We'd have workshops with the entities, including the SABC, to go through those guidelines once they are published by Treasury. But the year before this one, we couldn't submit because we couldn't receive it in time. And if we did receive it, we had found the quality not to be in accordance with those guidelines. No plans underpinning the request of the SABC. The same issues. The other area where we felt that, and we had discussions with the SABC around this matter, to say, I mean, especially in this climate, that SABC must focus on its core business. You had found SABC, for all the right reasons, wanting to do all sorts of things, call centers, Bafana Jesus, and it's, given the current climate, let us focus on the business of SABC and really the other things we can deal with or you know, raise them at the appropriate levels. These are the issues that we've raised with them, and as I said, we have met with the officials. Minister has written to them. With the last budget, we literally had to ask one official on the last day to come and sit with us to finalize the budget submission to the National Treasury. You know, literally to say, please come, let's do this for the good of the SABC. And as a result, if you ask us what is the status, you will find that, part of the funding is not what it should be. And if I could give an example, you'll find that, SABC has got an important role to play in the broadcasting digital migration program that the minister spoke to yesterday. It's got a very, very important role. If you look across the entities that have got similar roles, Centec, funding for set-top boxes, some allocations have been made for those entities. Centec, digital network is funded up to almost 90%. We've received initial funding of about 400 million for set-top boxes from National Treasury, and nothing for SABC because we could not submit something that we could begin to engage and motivate for the SABC. Another area where we felt that the SABC could really have done a bit better is with regards to the convening of AGMs. Without talking too much on this one, we received late notification, quality of documentation being not what it should be of this corporation. And again, we submit all of these things to the chairperson. The former late minister wrote to the chairperson on the quality of documentation and the manner in which that AGM was handled. Let me touch on from where we're sitting on the financial challenges of the SABC. We have a financial crisis. There's no choice about it. It's a financial challenge, and I guess that's in part the reason why members are faced with that problem. And I think the issues were spoken to very well yesterday, even the day before yesterday. It's personal expenditure. I think anybody can analyze it and say there is a problem there. This matter we rose at the AGM of year before last, we rose previously to say we need to watch this area. It's growing and it's going to get us into challenges. I spoke about News International opening up of bureaus where we have failed with the sequencing of it. It's a very, very important function of the SABC. We want to support them in this function. However, it is important that we get the necessary approval, we get the necessary funding, and only then you can launch and run these things. You don't go and launch first and say it's an important function of government, therefore fund it after having committed yourself to it. And the use of consultants, which again I think a number of people spoke to yesterday, amortization of sports rights. So if you look at those areas, quite frankly, you would see that those are the biggest cost drivers in the last couple of years. And I think observations were made yesterday to say you've had personal expenditure going up, consultations going up, which is an anomaly. You needed, you know, the one or the other to raise this. In the AGM of last year with the late minister, we indicated that whilst we're showing a profit, the IFRS requires us to show a once-off item of pensions of about 420 million. If you discount that, you can clearly see that, you know, the profit is not what it should have been. And therefore, by then, we should have begun to look at contingency measures going forward. As part of the oversight function of the Minister of Communication, we recommended and the then minister agreed that in all our SOEs, we have to take governance reviews independently of the board management, independently of ourselves as well. And we do this with all the entities, SAPO, Centec. In fact, we had to delay the SABC review, because really at the time there were these challenges with the GCEO in court. We said let's not confuse matters, let's delay it, and until Minister communicated that which was undertaken. I think everybody has got a copy of that report. And in that report, I think it makes a number of findings which I won't talk to. But one finding, given the input I'm talking to here, and that finding says that the SABC needs to the relationship between the SABC and the DOC needs to be stronger. It needs to be more proactive, not reactive. The SABC needs to be need to be aware of its obligations to compile reports and submit them to the DOC timeously. So I'm just saying to that because I'm a minister to the report, I would. And out of the report, of course, it's independent. Minister shared its contents with the board, wrote to the board and say, this is the independent that review that I've commissioned. And requested that a plan to implement those recommendations that maybe the board would agree to be submitted to the minister as part of the oversight of the DOC and the minister. Well, today we don't have that plan. Now, as I said, today we don't have that plan. Now, with hindsight, I guess, I think it was Peggy Kumalo who said it yesterday, that we can always do better, we can always do more as a DOC, and to an extent, you know, we agree, with hindsight, anybody can do better, can do more. Yet this must be seen against the background that relatively speaking, no single body has got complete oversight and authority over the SABC, from appointing to removal to disciplinary processes. You know, whilst we all want government, I think, you know, it's presenting some challenges. The selection process is the responsibility of Parliament, the appointing authorities, the President of the Republic. The day-to-day oversight is the responsibility of the Minister of Communications. And I remember one of the last press briefings that Minister Kasabori gave was to say, you know, with SABC, I'm doing my oversight, but beyond that, you know, so you also have that challenge that maybe as we look at the legislation, we might want to say how best, if needs be, how best do we address that. And of course, performance management is a process, you know. We've been asked what are we doing, I think, what we're trying to demonstrate, and each time they appear before the portfolio committee, they ask us this question, are you doing enough insofar as oversight is concerned? But it's a process, you know. You set parameters, you agree those parameters, you recommend corrective action, and in the fullness of time, you take whatever necessary steps you need to take. What needs to be done? I concur with a number of suggestions to say, one, it's urgent, we need to attend to it, and I said to the portfolio committee that Minister Nyanda, SABC is one of his priorities, to begin to say we need to turn around the SABC. There was a call yesterday for maybe a forensic investigation. In our view, I think a number of reports have been commissioned by the DOC, by the board, by management. And out of those reports and a number of things, there is appreciation all round as to what are the underlying challenges at the SABC. I think what is, from our perspective, what is required is to look at those recommendations and start implementing those recommendations that would assist us to begin to turn around the entity, and not another investigation which will take time, create more confusion at the entity. And I think it's with this in mind that the Minister of Communication is putting together a panel of experts that would assist him really to go in and say, let's begin to arrest the problem at the SABC and begin to turn it around. Chairperson, as I said, I could really talk to those things that PFMA, Broadcasting Act, because the similar issues are provided for in the Broadcasting Act as well as the Companies Act. And so although I tended to focus on the PFMA, and as I said, we'll take this up by letters, briefing minutes to the minister, and correspondences between the DOC and the SABC.
Thank you very much. This is open to questions, comments. Hello, Mirza.
Just a second. I was going to suggest that let's hear from the board. The board should respond and brief the members as to why they didn't submit this issue which we wanted. And then we can debate it.
I want to make the same proposal, although there were some questions that I would like to also pose to the DDG. Thank you.
Ms. Terry?
Thank you, Chairperson. Before we go as far as that, I just wanted to know, there's a mention of several meetings. I just wanted to know whether they do have minutes of those meetings with the SABC. Maybe it could assist us. And also, I would like an explanation why they came to a decision that the AGMs were not legitimate.
Okay, Mr. Matebati, you want to respond to the last one, and then I'll allow the board to respond.
We have minutes and correspondences that would make available to the committee via the chairperson. The AGM, the challenge we had with it was the convening of the manner in which it was convened. You know, not Of course, you can convene an AGM and require waiver to 21 days notice and all those type of things. We had found that we actually had to remind the SABC to do that, which again is their responsibility. We had found that ordinarily you need to get the documents in time to do a proper analysis so that when you make resolutions at the AGM, you're better informed. We had found that maybe the quality of the documentations were not what they were, you know, and this day is a letter that Minister wrote to the chairperson.
Okay, SABC board members, group CEO, executive management, any response to the issues raised?
Is my phone not working?
Hold on. There's Mr. Matabake wants to respond. Let me give him a chance. I'll come to you.
No. I just wanted to clarify that the current budget, the current corporate plan, I said it was submitted in time. It's a previous year's one. That was not timely submitted. The current year one, the year that we're in now, was timely submitted. However, we still have got the challenges that we had previously raised with that corporate plan.
Okay.
Last
Thank you, Mr. Mamponi.
Thank you. right now, that we have to find a way how to relate with the community, how to relate with the community. I think everybody involved in issues around the quality of our documents, around the frequency of those documents. Now, it is important to say this at the end of the day, because I don't want us to stand up here and go to be nothing wrong has happened. It must be clear that also on our part will become immensely wanting with respect to those documents that were supposed to. And historically, it has been there. We can't deny that. And I think we need to own up to those mistakes on either side. Whether it's management, whether it's board, I think we need to own up. Let's not talk about half truth here. That time is over, gone. We are just wasting our time here to come and become defensive on either side. We just need to own up and say we accept everything we say. We understand that we should have done this like that and did not do that. And find out the reason. Once we are clear with that, then we can move forward. Now, I cannot deduce or take out the value of what very much has said. It has been one of the greatest challenges that we have because how can you come here and say, I haven't received funding when certain documents were not submitted to the museum? On several occasions, this strategic information has not gone to the museum. That's the truth. You can't deny that. So, moving forward, these are the issues that we are dealing with. Mr. Matabate was a little bit hacked in not acknowledging that things are improving quite immensely. I mean, we are meeting as often as possible the business operators from SABC and Sony letters about, you know, around this interaction, much is actually happening at the end of the day to try and contain and manage the situation. So, Jefferson, really, I do not want to hear anybody tell you anyone talking around this issue that is the environment. We must call on all the positions, all the mishaps that have happened at the SABC, and to take collective responsibility.
Mr. Kumalo?
Ciao.
No, I think the point that I wanted to say is that the lifting of the bureau, the issue that has been under our microscope now for, I think, for at least the last year, emphasizes a lot of the concerns that have been raised by the people. I mean, for instance, it was clear to us that, you know, one of our biggest cost drivers invited yesterday into the bureau. And I have gone public, by the way, on many of these things. So the critical stance I have taken in the making of the cost structure of the inefficiencies, by the way, in the particular truck are not just in the region. And I believe zero alone. We need to look at the regional of the region to find that not only are there too many prevents out there, but the amount of money we are putting in to deal with news gathering and the schedule that we get in our regional offices is still a problem. We're not getting that balance back. We need to look at the cost. And I do know, and this is the government is correct, I do know that there was an overexpenditure in the tune of about 80 million rand on the bureau alone. That's too much. And the Department of Finance, Gloria Sarobe, has been awesome on this place because she really has made the Department of Finance to go through the very hard financial problem, how we deal with this, because the process has escalated. And that is why one of the things we decided to do
said that we're going to have more involvement in the heart rather than a hero in all the people in the country. We're trying to deal with that. And secondly, besides that, the amount of money that gets allocated to various heroes that will get a budget that will stay within it, not going to spend more than what has been allocated. And I think that the noble objective that drove the establishment of the hero is not being able to continue. And I think that the people who are there for us
Sorry. Thank you. Any further responses from the board or the executive management? Becky?
Second of all, I would like to say this for the record, that from a board point of view, we have really tried very hard to make sure that we honor the deadline. I said yesterday, I'm one of those few people with a bit of institutional memory. In the 2007 I think that, you know, December last board meeting, when issues of corporate plans and other business plans and related stuff were not ready. It is on record that I even made a request to say that management must consider to cut their holidays short to make sure that we do not fail to honor the deadlines as set for ourselves. But I agree with the president to say the OT has to take a part of ownership in this process. We are all taking responsibility here, we are not shying away. We have had a serious leadership problem from the OT. Right at the top, from the ministry and the department itself. It is factual that management in 2007 heeded our call at the previous board and made sure that the corporate plan was ready. And it is true that management communicated with the OC to say the corporate plan is ready, but we have a new board. And for the OC to come here to say that SADC says to submit the corporate plan, whereas they in writing have submitted to SADC to say, okay, we acknowledge that, but because of these technicalities, we will allow the process. It is not true. I have been holding back a number of issues that I could actually be raising here because it does not help, it's not going to help to begin finger pointing. We have had leadership crisis at the DOT from the ministry and from the department. We have had settings where we have made kind and earnest appeals for decisions to be made. And the ministry and the department have actually failed to lead, to make precise and decisive decisions which could have turned SADC around. We also, from a board point, so sometimes have received a request from management, and we've also, to some regulatory extent, said, no, this does not
make sense. So, Sebastian, I think if we were to respond on a line-by-line basis on the point raised by DOC,
yeah,
we will actually be going the route of an inquiry. And remember, we have set in record to say that we would prefer this to be a hearing or a conversation, because if it's an inquiry, also, this house, the committee itself, is at fault because the invitation does not talk about the issues that are happening around here now. So we are all liable and responsible, including this house now as you are sitting. The issues that we are discussing here are not in line with the invitation. So the issues of skin appointing are not going to take us anywhere. But those issues which are raised by the OT now, most of them are factually inaccurate. And if we are to go on a line-by-line basis to deal with them, then we'll be going the inquiry route. And we have said we reserve the right to do that.
We did so well yesterday, you know, really. We stopped the obfuscation, we started talking to each other, we forced you, the board, for the first time to talk to the executive, and the executive, it wasn't nice what you were saying to each other. It was clear that you totally disagree with each other, but at least we started hearing what the real problems are. And the one clear thing that we could see is that you don't actually talk to each other. For us to now go back again, to start raising issues and taking the whole inquiry back is really sad. I want to reiterate to you again, this inquiry in the letter that was written to you is an inquiry in terms of section 15.1b. And if you read the section, if you haven't got it, I'll give you the section. What it says to you is that we're holding an inquiry into your fitness as a collective, not as individuals, as a collective, to remain the board on the basis of three grounds. That's what the Act says, and that's what the inquiry is about. And we've said this 300 times now, we've said in the media and everywhere. The three issues we look at is your failure or otherwise success of complying with fiduciary duties. And I see that as the whole SABC. I mean, each one of you have certain fiduciary duties. You as the board, I gave a list of those fiduciary duties to Professor Gilwald and Ms. Babuli on the first day. We typed them out. We've given it to you. And clearly they set fiduciary duties with the board as well. Up with the executive, the management as well. Now, that is the scope of the inquiry. What the letter says further is that we'll specifically concentrate on the legal statements. Because we as a committee, all the parties agreed that to go into a whole inquiry and to go and look at every single accusation that everyone is making, you'll take a year. You'll take at least a year to go and check every single accusation that everyone has to cross-examine, go into those issues. And we've tried, although we've made the scope of the inquiry, the collective in terms of those three grounds, which is clearly stated in the letter, we've also tried to, from our own side, say, let's try and stick to the functionality issues, because clearly if there's a dysfunctionality, then you cannot perform your fiduciary duties. That's not saying that you didn't perform your fiduciary duties. I, for one, if you tell me you've tried everything in your power to do your fiduciary duties, it's very difficult for me to say you if you have or you haven't. Because for me to do so, I'll have to go into a whole inquiry to see who did what, when, how, and so on. So one can accept that at face value. But the point is, we're now at a point in time where you yourselves are agreeing to major dysfunctionalities. You're saying within that dysfunctionality, you've clearly tried to perform your fiduciary duties as best you can. I'm not going to argue with that for now. But let us try and stick to those issues and try and finish the inquiry on that basis. That is what you've come here and that's what we've asked you to respond to. We've also said, if there's a question asked to you that you cannot answer, because you didn't have the time, you didn't have the document or whatever, we said we'll give you a chance to respond to those in writing and to make sure that you've got those documents. So if you feel at any stage there's a question that's not fair that you can't answer, then all tell us that and we can mark it off as one question you haven't answered and we can wait for the response to it. But I think to try and take us back now to question the inquiry and so on, whatever you've stated in terms of your, it's just good lawyers that will always reserve their rights. Any lawyer that doesn't reserve their rights is a fool. So I can accept that you reserve your rights. But I don't, let's not try and take this thing backwards. Let's try and see and help us at least as a committee to see the extent of these problems. All the things that DOC is saying, if you have any disputes with it, fine. Already there's a contradiction. The CEO says all of it's true, yourselves you say it's not true and it's factually incorrect. Now that's fine. That's a factual dispute that then exists amongst us. And we should be aware as committee members, we're not fools to realize that the one's contradicting the other. But what we're trying to do is put those issues on the table. And we're asking you to please to respond to those and let's just move on with this inquiry. No one, not even yourselves and your own lives and your status you hold in society is going to be enhanced by holding up this inquiry. If we cannot bring finality one way or the other, that collectively, that there's a dysfunctionality to the extent that fiduciary duties can start slipping through the gaps, then clearly we as a committee are not doing our duty. And we really do not want to continue an inquiry where we have to force people to come here on the basis of subpoenas and so on. The country doesn't. I mean, if you look at the newspapers today, it's a joke. I mean, there's one joke in the newspapers, it's all about these hearings and about the SABC board. And I think we must stop that. Because we have to start now at the new beginning and try and start something. I think all of us have already said, we think there are problems with the legislation. We think we need to relook the model. We need to relook the policy. So the issue is not just who is the board of this. It's not just who is the executive. Those are personalities, those are people. There's a bigger issue at stake here in the country, and that is what we're trying to address, is to use this hearing as the start of actually re-looking what should be the board. And in this case, your views that you're expressing are invaluable. I mean, they're hugely, hugely important for what you're saying to us about the model and the problems with it and the finances and so on. But we must clearly, we cannot deal with all those issues. Our first responsibility as a committee is to try and create legal certainty that there is someone at the board that can act as an accounting officer and is legally doing so. Because I said to you yesterday, my problem, my personal problem, I don't know what other people's problem, my personal problem is, I do not know what's going on in the SABC for the last few weeks. I do not know if people are entering into contracts they shouldn't. I do not know if they're spending up to 15 million rand per decision as they are. I don't know those things. And it's irresponsible for us as committee members to not know those things. And we have to bring finality to it. So please, that's the context in which we're trying to do this. Don't take us back now. We've gone to a step where you've been hugely helpful. I must tell you that all the members of the board that have spoken and of the executive, if you don't give us those insights, we can only know these things from documents we receive and things we read in the media. And you are giving us in certain respects other perspectives which are important for us to make the decisions and to try this whole new process of fixing up the SABC board. I mean, you don't have to be a genius to see that 3 years in a row there's been huge problems with even, you know, I would have thought with money problems. If there's one thing people do is to pass a budget. I don't know, in justice, what we used to do is pass a give a budget that is 10 times what we really need because we know we're going to get only 1/10 of that. In your case, for 3 years, we don't even have a budget. We're not even asking for money. At the last minute, on the day before the budget must be in, people are being called in, individuals, to come and draft a budget for the corporation. I mean, that's just... I mean, I can't believe it when I hear things like that. I just cannot believe it because, I mean, the one thing is about a budget. So, Chair, we're really going well. I think this is helping tremendously us. Well, it's helping me, and I think I can see with my other members it's helping us. We can ask the board and the executive to please, let's continue in the vein that we've continued. Let's try and get an end to this issue. All the issues you can't respond to, we'll give you a chance to respond in writing, and there won't be any issues that would not be addressed. And all those documents that you write will also be public, so that your views on these issues are public. So I would please ask that we continue in that vein and so on. And let's continue with these inputs. The issues that are being raised are all pertinent to the three grounds in Section 15. The main one being the fiduciary duties of the board. So all these issues are pertinent to it. But what we're also trying to do in the process is to try and narrow these issues. If we don't narrow it, we'll sit here for weeks and weeks at end, which is not in anyone's interest.
Chairperson? Thank you, Chairperson. Also, good morning to the Minister. The recommendation by the DDG that, you know, we should look at existing recommendations and try and implement them. I've got a problem with that because you will be asking the same people, the board and the executive, that have failed to implement these recommendations to go back and do it. My further concern is that when you listen to both sides, both the executive management and the board, is that what is missing in all of this is that people got away with mistakes with impunity. I didn't hear at any stage that when the board was ignored by the management, what is the sanction for that? When the management was ignored by the board, what is the sanction for it? And if there's no sanction, where people know that if I don't follow the line or I don't follow the rule, I will be sanctioned. And this is what is missing in this process. And because therefore nothing was done. And my question is that does the buck stop with the minister? Does the buck stop with the board? The buck stop with parliament because we're an oversight committee? Who is going to take responsibility? And I really think that the blame game must also stop now. And I agree with the acting CEO that maybe we have reached a stage now where there should be a collective responsibility by both the executive management and the board. And then once, I'm not saying that people are to blame, but just that collective responsibility, I think will make our lives much more easier in terms of moving forward and finding solutions. And I'm also not sure about the legal position. You know, if the board has failed to carry out their fiduciary duties, what exactly is the sanction there for? If the executive management has failed to carry out their duties, what is the sanction there? Because otherwise, if we really want to turn the SABC around, you cannot do it with the same people, or you can do it with the same people, but that they must be very clear that if they don't do and carry out and the recommendations like you're suggesting, DDG, that there will be some consequences with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I think what we've heard yesterday, and I'm very glad that we sort of, as Mr. DeLange said, we got a sort of an insight in what was going on at the SABC, in the board and in the executives and so on. But there's one thing that stands out. We can talk about this issue for weeks. You can't fix relationships. If you don't want to be in a good relationship with someone or another group, you will never get it right. And the main problem, as I see it, I'm not a psychiatrist or whatever, this whole thing is a question of relationships. Bad relationships between the executive and the board, bad relationships between the executive of the SABC and the DOC. We can play this mind game for a year. I did it. No, you don't. This is all what it's all about. And I think we can reach something with this inquiry if we stop this sort of allegations flying around the floor and so on. We know there's a problem. And the committee, the portfolio committee of this parliament can't fix relationships between important members of a big company like the SABC. The minister, Mr. Nyanda, can't tell them you must fix up your relations. They must do it to themselves. Maybe we must do with them when we were kids. They will put the fighting kids in one room and say, now you fix your problems. And you come out of this room when you're ready. Then we can go on. I think we must put the board and the executive and the DOC, send them to Robben Island and leave them there for a month and say, we'll come and fetch you when you have sorted out your relationships. Thank you, Mr. Chairperson.
Can we agree to that resolution immediately? What immediate effect? Ms. Killian?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I would like to support partially what some of the members on this side indicated, but I would like to just pose further questions to the DDG. The concern that I have is, yes, there is some indication of blame. Blame being cast on this side, that side, and the following side. But obviously, at this critical stage of the SABC's existence, we now really need to get to the bottom of all of this and come to a realistic turnaround strategy. So my question is just first of all to the DDG, and that is, the concern that I have is from the annual report of 2008, and clearly there must have been indications earlier as well. It is clear the operational expenditure grew by 38, for employee compensation and benefit expenses, grew by 38.24%. He mentioned that in his presentation, but did the DOC not identify that as a serious concern to make this operation sort of liquid, because what has come out in yesterday's presentation as well as this morning is that the board inherited a specific situation when they took office on the 1st of January last year. It was not as though there was sort of some deteriorating steps in the past 4, 5, 8 or 10 months. It was a matter that came quite long. why did the DOC not intervene earlier to say, here's a crash coming? We had a report yesterday by Mr. Golding who indicated at his very first board meeting he raised this issue, that this corporation is in serious financial straits. So if it was so evident, if all the reports were there, if, you know, the Auditor General had the reports, etc., there was a Deloitte and Touche report, etc., why did the DOC not intervene earlier in the course of last year? I understand that the Minister approved the corporate plan quite late and that there were the revisions, etc., but clearly, even that plan she had reservations on, and she indicated that certain amendments had to be made. Now, my concern here is, it seems that we have a serious lack of accountability in this whole, you know, this whole, it's fudgy. Lines, roles, responsibilities, how must we keep the board and every individual member, and the executive in particular, accountable in terms of the PFMA? Don't we have a problem in the Act as such? That the board as such, it's so fudgy, it's so easy to cast blame. No, this one didn't do that, no, exactly. Now, all of that is compounded by personality clash, as Mr. Van der Dijk said, but I think it was also a question of, it's crisis management, and now everybody's looking for somebody to blame. And all of that, in addition, political problems that also had an impact. So now we're sitting here. How do we change this around? But because if this committee decides that this is a due inquiry, we move for the dissolution of the board, new faces come in. Where will it leave us? It will leave us nowhere, because we will have the same situation. We still have three executive board members. They are still a problem. There would still be a problem with a new board coming in, receiving a very serious financial crisis. How to deal with all of that? So I just wanted to ask the DOC, what do you intend to do? Because we need to know that we will now move in practically. We need to say, the time is over to say, from a distance, with letters and with communication to the SABC, you need to revise this, that, or the following. You need a group of experts to now go in and plan a turnaround strategy. And everybody, all the executives, the whole group executives, and all the members of that body, should then say, okay, forget my own personal position, forget whatever happened in the past, I realize now that I must now be part of a constructive plan to get the SABC back on the road again. Thank you, Chair.
Van der Dijk, you know what, and I was just thinking about that Robben Island resolution. I don't think we can agree and implement that, because the Robben Island board has resigned and the CEO has resigned. So I don't know who's going to, you know, try and get the cherry off the on the water. Mr. Madhavati, we've got a big problem. Can you think of another solution, please? Can we send them to Orania? That might be a possibility.
Jefferson, if we send them to Orania, they will solve the problems within 2 hours, because they don't want to stay there.
Mr. Madhavati.
No, I wanted to come in because I have another engagement, and I must apologize for this, because I wanted to be here to be part of this discussion, but I come from a cabinet committee, and I must rush somewhere to another meeting. Now, I think I agree with the sentiment that says that we should not try to be apportioning blame to this or the other entity, whether to the board or the executive or the department, as well as I hear that the people again were saying the committee also must take responsibility. because I believe we all share the responsibility for the sorry mess we find the SADC in, at all levels. Committee, it's politics, it's the department, it's everybody. So we need to take that responsibility. And we need to look beyond just that and try to find the solution. We must look at where we are and how we get ourselves from where we are. That is why I thought that this would not be an inquiry or an inquisition as such. That would really try to find out from the people who are responsible for the SABC now and were partly all responsible in one way or the other. But the board is responsible for the running of the SABC with management, the direct management in the running of the SABC. And really to try to find out from the board whether they are able to do their work under the current circumstances, no matter how we got here, whether indeed, honestly, they are able to carry out their duties, their fiduciary duties, whether they are able to take the SABC to any height from the depths at which the SAB is currently. I think that is what I thought we were about. Not to try to apportion blame, not to try to blame the board, because I think the board is where it is, partly because of, as I said, of politics, partly because of the way it has been treated. We know that the board was appointed largely through an open, democratic, public process, but there were mistakes in the end, and this led to, you know, illegitimacy and problems from the board from the onset. So that in itself, and the board obviously itself has got these problems that it has, and there were things that happened between the board and management and so on, and management itself has problems. I think that I didn't think that we would now, unless we decide this an inquiry as such. What we are trying to do is really to try to establish from the board and make whether indeed they can provide the service that they were set out to provide. And if they can't, then we must together see how best we can try to help the situation out. A direct response, for instance, to a question raised about whether the department should take blame. I think yes, the department should take blame. And then the buck stops with the minister. And I have interrogated some of the things that happened while I was not here, and I know that there was engagement with the SADC, perhaps not to the extent to which we should have. I know that there were engagements as well between the committee and the SADC, and that perhaps things were not interrogated to the extent that they should have been. But I think that it is important for us to look beyond that, to try to find solutions, to try to say, where do we get from here? And I have indicated yesterday in my budget to say that I have asked the Minister of Finance, and I have asked the department to say that we really need to help the SABC and to get together a team of experts in agreement with the proposals that have been made here, to get a team of experts to help the SAB to effect this turnaround. But it will be very difficult for such a task team to begin to work while we're still trying to sort out whether the board and the SABC is in fact able to do, whether it will in fact be able to cooperate even with such an inquiry. I think the essence really is to try to find out whether we have a board, honestly, which can honestly say to this house, to this committee, that it is able to deliver on their mandate. In spite of, irrespective of what has happened in history, how they've been affected in history, by who they've been affected in history, whether it is management or politics, or, but whether now they think that they are really capable, must tell us honestly, whether they are capable of taking this, the SADC forward. Because as it is, the board needs to, we have a situation of management, of vacancies in top management of the SADC, which must be sorted out. Will the board be able to do that? We have other things that the board has got to do. It has got to go through audits. Will it be able to do that, given that some of them have resigned, and some of them have resigned with immediate effect? Some, of course, have resigned, and not the same. Even those who have resigned with immediate effect, they still have the fiduciary duty. So technically, yes, there is a board, but in reality, do we have a board? And we don't know what the presidency may say. The president may say, accept those resignations that have been requested for to come into effect, with immediate effect, and that puts us in a crisis. But that's not even the point, really. The point is whether, or even the people who have not, whether they'll be able to work together. And what do we say? What is our responsibility as members of parliament with respect to that? Because we are the authority that appoints them, recommends them to the president. And what do we say now that there is this situation? Without really, I understand this, without invoking Fulukwane and all that. Just honestly, whether this board will be able to work. Thanks.
Mr. Thank you very much. I think those are very important words and words of wisdom. Now, I'm not going to ask the board at this stage to respond, because that's really the decision, the assessment and the decision that the committee has to make. After having heard everybody, we will have to sit down independently as a committee and say, and answer this question. Do we believe that the current members of the board, with their current status, and their relationship with the executive management, do they have the capacity to address the immediate crisis within the board and the SABC? Do they have the ability to turn around this organization and put it on a positive, forward-looking platform, so that it can inspire public confidence? That's really going to be the critical question for us. And I think we are coming close, very close to that moment. I did recognize, we had a question, I don't know if you want to, Ms. Killian, are you prepared to hold with a response? Because I think we are then going to go a little bit on the details. Can I, if you agree, then I can ask General Holomisa to come in. And I want us to start moving towards concluding our deliberations. I don't think we're going to go on and on and on about this matter. We need to, as a committee now, to begin to decide how we want to take the process forward. General Mr.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. This parliamentary inquiry was motivated by the board resignation in the first instance. These board members have now told us that their resignation, among others, came from the behavior of the way in which the group executive operates. With the SABC's troubles, we see a pattern emerging over the years. Namely, that the board members are always made sacrificial lambs. We must thank the current and outgoing board for standing up to this and exposing the bad decisions of the executive, which have cost the SABC huge sums of money. Any decision taken here must be holistic. We can't simply leave here and open a bottle of champagne because certain individuals have been removed. we may have to seriously consider asking the Department of Communication or this committee to spearhead a process to review the structure of the SAPC. The first step in such a review should be a proper skills audit of the people occupying executive positions at group level. Such a report should also reflect on whether the current content does indeed reflect the full mandate of the public broadcasting. Indeed, such a report must come back here to this committee so that we can get on with the real work of fixing the SAPC. While this review is underway, I think it would be appropriate for the Department of Communications and National Treasury to work closely with the management of the SAPC and board to ensure that we don't see further financial chaos and a worsening of the labor dispute. That one is of immediate, whilst we are still trying to find a long-term solution to what who would be serving in the board. Are we going to accept their resignations? Are we going to request them to hang on there and so on? Are we going to appoint a new interim board? But in the meantime, you need to work closely with the finance department. The fixing of the problems of the SAPC will not happen overnight. We must accept that it will be a longer term initiative. It will require several processes. In conclusion, there is a need for another process, Chairperson. We need to initiate a parliamentary task team to advise us on what type of public broadcaster would be best for the country. Such a task team can look at the wider context, including legislation, rules and regulations, as well as the appointment procedures for senior executives and the board, in order to advise us on the ideal structural setup for the public broadcaster, so that we stop tinkering and have a clear-cut objective that everybody can work towards. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Kolwani, thank you for coming.
Testing, Chair. Is that I'm not sure whether Chair was summing up.
Yes.
Because some of the issues which are coming up might require us when we deliberate as a committee on the submission which we have gathered to this process, that we reflect on those matters. So, Chair, I will only say for now, Chair, that we, from our side, we think that, Chair, we have gone through the process very well. And we think that we must move towards, Chair, to a closure of this process, so that as a committee, we also get an opportunity to deliberate on the matters which has come up during the process. But amongst other things, Chair, which we need to do, we must remember that we said, as far as possible, the board members or the executive, they can make the submission in written to the committee, so that as we deliberate and conclude, we'll also take into consideration the issues which they might make submission on. I think that, Chair, we need to allow that particular process to unfold. And if we are concluding, Chair, for now on this submission, one will also request, Chair, as a housekeeping matter, Chair, that we need to be able that we indicate exactly when do we need those submissions. Which for me is something, because from Thursday last week we've been engaging with the board, and yesterday and so on, one would assume that they started to prepare those submissions as they've been indicating. That is what they might like to do, so that at least by tomorrow, Chair, we are able to get those submissions as a committee, so that we are able to reconvene probably Friday to start to deliberate, Chair, and also look at those particular submissions which they've given, so that we are able to conclude and make the recommendation to the National Assembly ourselves as a committee, Chair. I think that that's what Chair will proposing going forward, if we are concluding, Chair, because I'm not sure whether there are other people still want to make submissions so that we get the indication of that. We allow them to do that, then we conclude, Chair, with the way forward which Chair I'm proposing in moving forward, that we allow the written submission, probably which must be here before end of business tomorrow, then Friday we are able to convene as a committee. We deliberate on the submission, also taking into consideration the written submission, and then we are able to finalize this matter for possible submission to the National Assembly, depending on the availability of programming and so on, so that the matter can be deliberated probably next week by the National Assembly on the recommendation to have concluded as a committee. Because as from this point, ourselves would still have to look on the submission and engage on the issues. We cannot be able to conclude without the written submission from the board, because we need to take that into consideration if there is any submission. But if there will be none, say, we can be able to conclude. I was going to say, even after the president debate today, we can reconvene the committee and conclude if there are no further submissions. But for the sake of giving the time to make submission and so on, we can reconvene on Friday and conclude on the matter. Thanks.
Now I see a lot of hands going up from the side of the board.
Listen, we would really like to respond to some of the issues that have been raised. I think it's myself, Gloria, and Tanya also had a hand up.
All right, so can I recognize Mr. Silobi, Professor Chilwell, and Kanye Mkonza?
I also like to speak, Chair. I was actually, my hand was up too.
Oh, I thought you were reserving your right.
Well, I'll speak then as well.
You want to speak now?
You're nervous fast, Mr. Chair, yes.
Thank you very much, and I give you the first chance.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Chair, I'm sorry that Mr. DeLange seems to feel that I take us back to the issue, but the issue is really of fundamental importance, the legal issue. Mr. DeLange claims that he, by mere mention of the section 15, capital A1B, that is sufficient to include all the matters set out in that section. I think even a first-year law student would not buy that argument. The letter contains two aspects. The letter says, require into the status of the board, firstly. Secondly, inquire into whether the board is able to discharge its fiduciary functions. But those two are qualified by this, the resignation. You cannot, therefore, when you delimit the subject matter of that question, the status of the board and its ability to carry out its function, when you delimit it like that in the letter, you cannot then bring us here and then expand it. When we arrive, you expand it to the general matter set out in 15.1b. That, I think, Chairperson, would amount to a legal ambush. And I really want to appeal to this committee to understand the implications of what the committee is doing.
Sir, it is a point of order. Okay. But I think also from my side, sir, I want to appeal to you that you should refrain from insulting any member of the committee. I think we've tried very hard to conduct this inquiry in a responsible way, in a dignified way, without questioning the integrity of individuals concerned. And I think it has not been fair on your part to challenge the legal or intellectual interpretation of Mr. DeLange.
My apologies, Chair. I was not intending to do that, my apologies.
Thank you very much.
My apologies.
Thank you very much. What is the point of order?
See, the point of order was really raising that matter, Chair. You know, it's really uncalled for to, you know, judge the intellectual of Mr. DeLange. And number two is that I don't know whether if Mr. Kunta is starting to debate this matter back. Miss Kunta, she wants us to start afresh debating this matter. Because if that's the issue, you know, we go on going to finish. Because she's starting to raise issues that we still have to go and interrogate, you know. It's really, you know, I was thinking that the summary that has been posed by Honorable Kolwane has been just come up to say they'll be able to have their submissions so that we debate on them and then, you know, the conclusion.
Chairperson, I was still on the floor.
Okay.
If you could please allow me to finish. Okay. I won't be very long.
Thank you.
So, as chairperson, I wish to say with respect that I'm not taking this matter back. I am asserting the right, the legal right of the board members. And I will leave it at that because we have our written submission. The second issue I want to raise, and I appreciate the gentleman there who said that the board will be allowed to make written submissions. That will not correct the fundamental procedural defect in these proceedings, but we will take that up, provided, chairperson, that we are given a list of questions and a list of areas that we can respond to, so that we again are not exposed to this thing where there's a whole range of issues raised. And then, Chair, secondly and lastly, we will require sufficient time. 2 or 3 days is not sufficient for us. We have to go and ask management to assist us, get access to records within the corporation. That cannot happen in one day. We are non-executive directors. We all run our own business and our professional firms. We do not work for the SABC on a full-time basis, and we do not get paid by the SABC. So we will require support from the management, and they are busy with their general work. So I would really appeal that the question of us making written submission, at least I'm grateful that there's been that acknowledgement, but we cannot do it in 2 or 3 days. We will require at least 1 week to 2 weeks. Thank you.
Ms. Quinton, let me just clarify a few things for you. Your legal interpretation of the act remains your legal interpretation. We have heard that we've received independent parliamentary legal advice on this matter. I've also checked with the Secretary to Parliament. You've heard other people from the committee saying that they have a different interpretation of the Act. Now, we're not going to resolve it here. We've heard what you said, and we acknowledge your position. The second thing is I constantly hear you saying, we. I think it must be made very clear that the status of this board is in dispute. Whether the board is legally and lawfully constituted or not is in dispute. In your mind, as you stated yesterday, you are the deputy chairperson of this board, and that there's a quorum, and that you are able to meet lawfully and take decisions. But that's really in your mind. I don't want to call it a figment of your imagination, but it's in your mind. I think we would dispute that. A lot of committee members would dispute that. You've heard the minister saying that the president is looking at this matter. I have asked for the president to give us in proper format, the exact dates at which people resigned, on what terms they resigned, and also clarity as to whether his office has accepted certain resignations or not. I think we need to know that. But we can't come here believing that there's a lawfully constituted board at this stage. You can't believe it. You haven't attended a single meeting of the board since the 1st of April. And you pop up here and claim to be the deputy chairperson of the board. If that's the case,
On a point of order.
No, I'm not recognizing you.
The point of order.
I'm not recognizing you at this stage.
Why?
Just hold on. Let me finish. I'll give you a
chance. The issue of the Honorable Deputy Chairperson was clarified yesterday that he was not given any notice. So you're wrong to say he comes up and pop up.
No, that's exactly what we want to clarify also as a committee. Okay? So, let's be very clear. If Ms. Kunta still remains the deputy chairperson of this board, and it's one of the questions that we will have to consider as a committee, why did the board on the day that Ms. Kanyi tendered her resignation voluntarily as the chairperson of this board, why did all the members of that board choose to elect an interim chairperson? Why did they do that? If they believed that there was a deputy chairperson in place, the only logical thing to do was to call upon the deputy chairperson to assume the legal responsibilities of leading this board. But in their wisdom, they took a decision to appoint an interim chairperson. And what both the committee and the minister had indicated to them is that in law, there is no position called interim chairperson. We can't recognize that appointment is a lawful
appointment or a lawful decision of the board. I think all members of the board were clear that day, the day that Ms. Kanye Nkonza tendered her resignation, that night. It's night today. Day, yes. That now the deputy chairperson has resigned, and that there isn't, the chairperson has resigned, and that there isn't an deputy chairperson, therefore they decided to appoint an interim chairperson. So, I just want to put on record that I don't know when you say we, who are you speaking on behalf? And that's really, I don't want you to respond. I don't want you to respond, but I think it's important from the committee's point of view that we also put on record what is our understanding of the status of members of this board and whether the board is legally correct or not. Now, you can have your interpretation, and you can write many more articles in the Cape Times about this matter, but that's not going to help us. That's not going to help us. I think, yeah, we have to take decisions based on the information that we receive, and we're going to have to make an independent assessment. And we can't be guided by articles in the Cape Times. Professor Gilbert.
Chairperson, as a point of urgency, really, I know you might not want to observe me.
There is no point of urgency. There is no point of urgency, Mr.
There is, Chairperson.
There is no point of urgency. I don't recognize you. The next speaker in line was Mr. Robbie. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Chairman. This is more an exciting meeting today, I must say. And which just makes me grateful to have been in this board for this long, because I would have missed it. Honorable Chairman and members of the committee, I did join this board in January 2008. Just to give some context, I was 48 years at that time, and I'm running for 50 years. Maybe my wisdom is coming back. And because of its importance as a very constituent institution of democracy, I thought that my best contribution would be in the audit committee and the finance committee for the next 5 years, because I understood the state of the business as I saw it from the public document. Four extraordinary events happened to us last year. The first one being that hardly 3 months were in office, this board was confronted with a motion of no confidence in Parliament by the committee that appointed us 3 months ago. The second event was that within 6 months of existence, a little bit more, Deloitte was asked to do some performance evaluation on this board. Almost not doable. You don't evaluate a board within 6 months of existence. The third thing is the energy that really went into the amendment of the Act and the miss out on this due process little matter. And hence the Act was only approved in March this year. And I think the fourth one is an elegant explanation, because in spite of all of this, this board politely and courteously sat here with all the manner of abuse, short of being physical. But in November, an explanation was made to us as to why we were subjected to that kind of pressure. It had very little to do with us, and it had to do with politics. At a personal level, Chairman, none of all of that, all of it, 10 times, 100 times, none of that would make it necessary for me to resign from this court. The only event that triggers this thought is the resignation of my three colleagues on the 10th of June, in a group announcement. That is Mr. Tembeki, Mr. Kumalo, and Mr. Desmond Golding. Key to this, though, is that Mr. Golding is the chairman of an audit committee. Ordinarily, you would not have a chairman of the audit committee resigning at the height of an audit of a company with qualifications to deal with and going concern issues to deal with, all recorded on paper. If it was a private company, ordinarily, there would be huge concern. And there would be questions about why a chairman of an audit committee would resign in the midst of all of this. In July, we're going to have a final audit committee. This board has got to give letters of representation. Somebody has got to sign this account. And somewhere in September, these results, somebody has got to take ownership of them as bad as they are. And so, somewhere there, we lose a chairman of the audit committee. I need to stress this because, as far as I'm concerned, this is just the one event that actually triggers my conversation this time. We have PFMA compliance issues to deal with as a board. We're also operating under the company law, fiduciary duties, and all of these things that come with it. Got these corporate plans and papers approvals to make sure we meet all these deadlines. The key issue here, Chairman, is that the question is being asked as to whether we are in a position to perform our duties as a board. There are two things here. For the one part I'm in control of, I'm here. I'm a board member. Proudly so, actually. And just to also say that proudly more because the quality of the board member we had, it's very difficult to achieve that. Whatever the miracle of that process, he did a great job. I'm always grateful to my fellow board members. The part I am not in control of is who resigns. The second part I'm not in control of is that because also people here come through nominations and constituencies. I'm not in control of who is recalled by whose constituency to actually make sure they resign from this board. That's not in my hands. The third thing that I'm not in control of is as these vacancies are opening up, the quorum gets threatened. And so a different personality is responsible for filling these vacancies. It is this committee and everything else that actually formally supports it. That too is not in my hands. Effectively, these resignations means that end of September, with all my best intentions, I cannot perform my duty. I'm here, my side I can, and this quorum issue end of September is not mine. There isn't an indication, either, Mr. Chairman, that these vacancies are going to be filled. So Mr. Peter Vunda resigned in March sometime, and the rest of the people resigned April. There's no indication that by end of September, these vacancies will have been filled, and therefore this quorum is in place. I have to stress on this, Chairman, because I do want this to be taken as a formal notice of my exit. On the basis of that, in September, I'm not in a position to perform my duties. I don't want to take responsibility for the meltdown of this board. That's not my fault. I do want to take responsibility for how this board functions in the most appropriate, professional way it can. And I have not been uncomfortable with this. until this issue of the quorum comes into it. And just to say, for somebody who has been one of the four people who is always perpetually under pressure in this process, it must be surprising as to that I am here and I'm one of the last three board members left. That's my duty. That's what I did. That's what I said to this parliament. It's going to be 5 years. And so to the extent then that by default, end of September, I am not in a position to perform none of these duties for things which have got very little to do with me, and in the event we trip into all manner of issues of authorities not being there, dramas, papers, audit reports not signed, you name it. I want to make sure this committee takes note of this. I am not in a position to take ownership of that end of September. The nature of the audit, it can go beyond October, it can go to November, especially the troubled accounts, as we do have as SABC and the matters of going concern. And attached to that is the fact that these very annual reports are the ones you have to take to the market and raise funding for an SABC that has a shortfall of 5 billion rand in the next maybe 5 years or 3 years. Not a shortfall of performance problem with the company. It's a shortfall of the requirements of the company based on what it has to do. You have to get into the market and fundraise using this annual report at the back of this particular financial report. I think it's very important that I say, as I make this formal exit, of course I have to write a letter, but it's going to come here and that one. But you have to note it as a formal exit today, and chairman, you are also free to make it as short as 2 minutes. I'm relaxed about it. I just want to take responsibility, because beyond all this conversation we're having, the PFMA remains with us. The company law issues remain with us. All the technical things that come behind that annual report are ours. And so, and thank you very much, Chairman. It has been a wonderful 18 months, quite frankly. And I will do it again. I have a knack for this. It's just that this one, there's just too many legs, which did not belong to me. And really, thank you for giving me the opportunity. Excuse me, I'm sure I can still do more somewhere else. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Nkonza. Sorry, Professor Dizilov.
Thank you very much, and the committee chairperson. I also just wanted to clarify some of the points about the status of the committee, which is the main focus of the hearing before we close. I don't think we have the time. We aren't able, even with written representation, to address all the issues that are in the documentation. So I just want to deal with the issue of the status of the board and to clarify certain issues that have become conflated in the discussion over the last 2 days in response to both the minister's statement now and Angel Owen. The issue of the functionality of the board, I don't think anybody has disputed. We are no longer, you know, people haven't been to meetings, we are no longer quorum. That was exactly the issue that was taken to the minister by the remaining members of the board, that we had to address this. But we had to do it in a way that would provide a transition for the organization. That was where the issue arose of how one could re-establish, make the board quorum. It was to deal with the technical and operational issues that we needed to address, and some of which have been addressed by Sarovia. So it was really it was to deal with the issues that would, you know, that we would have to deal with in retrospect, you know, once we'd come out of office. It was not to take this board forward. It was not to deal with forthcoming issues. Obviously, the crisis within the board, the wrongfully or rightfully, the legitimacy of the board. meant that if we couldn't take future appointments, all these critical appointments that need to be made, could not be made under those conditions. Those appointments would just be tainted. So the idea about the trying to get people not to serve immediate notice, to try and get the president not to accept immediate notice, was a technical issue to try and get the audit addressed, the issues that have been addressed, particularly the liquidity crisis, addressed, that the independent producers and the workers' issues could be dealt with. So I just wanted to make that point, that I think in appealing to board members and board members coming here and saying we could be coerced, we can't deal with a number of the critical approvals, etc., be obliged to deal with the issues of the audit. We were coerced, all decisions made up until the 4th of June hold. There hasn't been a big long gap where, you know, our future saying, obviously with certain appointments there are going to be gaps, but there would be enough people to make a set of, you know, a series of critical board decisions immediately in order to just address some of the issues in the SABC. That was what the re-establishment of the quorum, or Jeva re-established the quorum, was about.
Thank you very much, Ms. Nkwanza.
Thank you, Chair. I also want to say, I wanted to respond to some of the issues, but I think it's not important now. Some of the important issues that were raised by the Honourable Member Delim about just say the political issues at the time, the political climate, and whether removing this board then addresses those issues, and I'm not sure if it does. Come tomorrow, or at least a minute after this, you have all the members on this board who have resigned, and we have all resigned. The political climate doesn't change. When I resign, I have always wanted to resign for my reasons, not for anyone else's reasons. And the reason why I will submit my resignation to the president is because this board has not had any political support from anyone. And a few weeks ago when I had an interview with Business Day, and I said this, that until such time that there is a decision, a political decision about whether this board is supported to stay in office or not. Some of my own colleagues disagreed with that statement, but that's my statement. That was my statement at that time, that's what I maintain now. That when this particular government took over, one of the first things that should have been done is whether the shareholder supports this board to continue with this work or it doesn't. And I think the silence from the shareholder, whether the shareholder is the president or the minister at the time, the silence has actually exacerbated the problems of the SABC. Had that statement been made earlier, I'm sure we'd be seeing a different scenario of the SABC now. Now, for me, the reasons why I would resign from the SABC board, it's not because, you know, people have said I left this or I have that. The reason why I would support is that from day one, we do not have political support to stay on this board. And the issue is now, if you replace this board, and I'm sure it will be easy now, the debate will be easier than the National Assembly, because there's nothing to dissolve if you all resign. And therefore the interim board is based on those issues, whether you have a board to dissolve, or you fill in all of the vacancies, you appoint a new board completely. And that's a process. And when we talk about the legal status, this is one of the issues that Angela Mbeki was trying to raise yesterday, when it says technically, when people resign from a board, you fill in the vacancies. The committee has been very silent about filling the vacancies. And I've asked that question, why is nobody considering filling in the vacancies? The skills on this board. And I agree with what Ms. Robo was saying. The skills on this board have been exactly what SABC needs. Just a combination of skills, not the individual, but collectively. The skills have been right. And I understand some of the civil society movements that have said there's no representative of labor or there's no representative of that particular sector. That is true. That is not the responsibility of the court. It's the responsibility of this committee to ensure that when they appoint board members, they look at all of the skills as required by the law. Nobody has asked this committee why it did not look at that combination of skills or that representativity of the board to ensure that when this board is appointed, it is acceptable to the entire public. Nobody has looked at that, and nobody has asked this committee or the previous committee why it did not look into that issue. But instead, it is used against the board to get the board to resign. We did not appoint ourselves. But we agreed to serve the public broadcaster as members of the board. But without the political support that we should have as a board, we will not be able to serve this country or the public broadcaster. But the key issue, and I raised the issue of political influence yesterday, one of the reasons why this board has not been able to stand on its own feet for a very long time is that we have managers who have political clout more than the board. And this committee has supported that. Has supported that, has collaborated with management to ensure that this board does not function from day one, at least from the 1st of January. And this committee has been silent on that. And I was excited, Chair, when you said this is a different committee, we have to expect different things. I have not seen that. From some of the statements that have been made by members of the committee, I have not seen that. I have seen continuous disrespect of this board, people talking to us as if we are school children, or not even school children. I think they are more respected. But we've seen the same behavior that we saw last year. We saw that yesterday, and we continue to see that. And hence I'm saying, until such time, if we had had at least some statement from the shareholder, whether it supports this board or not, then we'll be having a different scenario. So we resign as board members and we take full responsibility for what has happened in the SAPC, and we were willing, because we understand what is happening at the SAPC, we're willing to work with the committee, to work with the shareholders to try and resolve the problems. But I think there is lack of willingness from the shareholder to continue support for this board, and therefore, for me, those would be my reasons for resigning. And those are the reasons that this board can never be sustained in this manner. Thank you, Chair.
Jefferson, I think I have been a bit diplomatic, and maybe let me take diplomacy out now and be direct. I have sent some signals, and I'm happy about the manner in which you just did your summary, with the exception of one thing, and at least let me say it. In the same manner you were concerned about the manner in which Ms. Christine Kunda almost attacked Honorable Jelangle, where I'm sitting, I feel personally that you've gone overboard in terms of the manner in which you have addressed Ms. Kunda. But that's a side issue. I think if we're asking for respect, respect in end, and it must be mutual. And I think you've gone beyond what ideally any person should be addressing somebody. Just to my point, Chaperson, part of your closing remarks actually talked about what we could have dealt with yesterday. The issue, Chaperson, is that, and I think I'm speaking on behalf of all my colleagues, and if anyone is objecting to this, I could invite that objection. There have been a lot of perceptions that have been created to say that the board is dysfunctional, the board is what's called all kinds of names. What we need to do, Jefferson, we need to restore the confidence of a board of South African Broadcasting Corporation to the South African ordinary people of our country, to our revenue drivers, which is the advertising community, by giving South Africans a board with a new mandate. When I talk about perception, it is linked to what Ms. Mkhwanazi is saying. People believe and respect only those people who are respected by the powers that be. Particularly in this case, politicians. Should there be a perception to say politicians have no respect for you anymore, then you don't have that which is called derived power. In the political conferences, we say you don't have a mandate anymore, and the writing is clear on the wall. some of the indirect influences I was making when I said the sender is not coding anymore. My colleague Desmond Golding confirmed by saying the wheels are off. There is no amount of statements, Jefferson, which this committee could have actually capitalized on and piggybacked on and then pose the question back to us. Which is what you have been trying to say, that the letter of invitation actually requests those two things. To say, do you form a quorum? You want to go to those technical details, technically yes we do. Because we need 9 members of the board for us to form a quorum. We now legally have, we have 12, including the only executive director. It was 11 non-executive directors and 1 executive director. We have been saying there are a lot of technical arguments that we could advance. And we want to respect this house. I grew up a con, and when we go to East London Airport and we go to PE Airport of those days, you will find a passing bay that would be marked MPs. Because members of parliament, they're highly respected people. And I don't want to come here, I've been avoiding it, to demonstrate that the level of understanding of the issues is very shallow. It's an embarrassment. And I've said it so many times, you say, don't push us to a corner where we actually will embarrass you, because we want you to continue to earn the respect to the nation so that we can respect you. But some of the discussions that have taken place here, an embarrassment to the nation. I held back my ammunition. Umshin Wam is loaded. See, that's a dismayed person. The truth of the matter is that collectively as a board, we lack the chemistry that is required for us to go, to continue discussing our functions going forward. For whatever reason, my colleague here, Ms. Gloria, has just confirmed to say that, thank you, she's resigning. The sentiment said by my colleague here, Ms. Mkonza, actually a testimony that the only remaining board member who has not actually made that statement now is Professor Alison Gilward. She has said she will be able to tender her resignation once she has been afforded an opportunity to get a hearing, so that the issues that she believes are skeletons in the cupboard in SABC are actually spoken out about. Chairperson, I, on behalf of my colleagues, invite an objection. In the interest of South Africa, request that this House must make a strong recommendation to the National Assembly and to the appointing authority, which is the president, to say that the board must be dissolved. We must afford South Africans an opportunity to appoint, whether it's an interim board, and open a process of appointing permanent board members who, by virtue of perception, this House will have confidence on, and actually the advertising community, which is our main drivers, and other stakeholders will have confidence in. I have been saying this thing so many times, Jefferson, but now let me be direct. Please dissolve us. Please appoint an interim board. Please begin a process immediately of appointing a permanent board. We are available as South Africans. We will continue to give the necessary support that is required. We will continue to answer to all the questions that are required. But for us to say that at the end of this meeting, we can get together and make the decisions that are required to get SABC to function, that is not the case. And if I have any objections from any of my colleagues, I'll invite that. I've been saying this thing in a very diplomatic manner. Now I'm cutting straight to the jugular. It's all right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think what we should do is we have listened very carefully to Mr. Mbeki, a young man with a lot of wisdom. And I think he has maybe helped us a tremendous, a great deal to try and bring this matter to a closure. Can I, on that note, formally close this particular session of the inquiry? I want to thank, first of all the members of the board who appeared before this committee, starting with Professor Gilwell and Nadia Bulbulia, who chose to come under difficult circumstances last week Thursday, and all the members who appeared yesterday and today. I know that you are not full-time, but I think your presence here indicates your commitment to serving this country. That is the important thing. Your commitment to serving the country, to serving the institution, and accounting. The fact that you have come here and participated in this inquiry does indicate that you do respect this institution. You might not have the greatest praise for it, but you respect the institution. That is important. So from our side, a very sincere thank you to all of you. To the executive management, thank you very much. I know that this has been a trying process, but I want to thank you for your presence, Mr. Mampone. Thank you for bringing your whole team and being present. I know you've got a LOC meeting this morning, and I told you last night you have to be here. So thank you very much for making all the efforts to be present. The minister, in his absence, I think his presence here, ordinarily as a member of parliament, he's free to attend any committee meeting. I think he made an important contribution, and he, I think, opened the window for us to look at things perhaps a bit more differently. Members of the committee, all the members of the opposition parties, thank you very much. General Minister, I know that this is not your priority committee, but I know that you'll be tempted to come here many more times. You've enjoyed every bit of it. Patricia, I know you're a full member now of the committee. Mr. Van der Zijl, the deputy, Ms. Mazibuki is not here. Thank you very much, and Ms. Killian. So this inquiry is formally closed. I want to appeal to the members now to, if we could just try and work out what our logistical arrangements, so that we can then, you know, move swiftly on this particular matter. I don't want us to delay unnecessarily. So those who wish to leave, thank you, and you may depart. And we'll adjourn for 10 minutes for people just to stretch, and then the committee will reconvene. There's an attendance register that's going around. Please bring it to the secretary. The guest attendance register. Yes, please bring it to the secretary.
He went for the chocolate. I hope I have not been disrespectful.
No, but I've been trying to speak to you. Thank you. I know you were referring to me that I have to earn respect.
No,
you said I'm a gentleman. Thank you very much. I remember.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I want to know. Okay.
You
then
beg you something to earn respect.
One way. There's no controlling the trade, but they are all here. This is actually full part of our team.
And they cannot break without me.
Yeah.
management.
Without a Quran, there's only one thing that makes it done is to get closure to this process and begin a new process of appointing either an interim court, which is moving immediately, and then eventually set this process in hope for a permanent court.
So as the IFP, you support education now?
Even if you don't support it, you do support it because it has been left in the
But we
now need to go and look at our own selves and work.
Yeah. Exactly.
And work hard.
Yeah. In fact. Yeah.
You know, like, we are not politicians now. We are under no pressure from anybody when we should be here.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, we didn't even know whether we were going to be fired the next day or not.
Yeah.
We just didn't know.
Yeah.
But it was something that you can't change.
We know better.
I don't know.
You know that I have a good deal of advice for you.
Thank you very much.
I don't know.
Thank you very much. Can we reconvene members of the committee?
I identify myself in terms of other people's views of me.
I wish to see you in court with hair on the other end.
Thank you very much. Can we reconvene? Mr. Butimanamela, Eric Kulwani. Where's Mr. Kulwani?
Eric!
Can we get him in, please?
I could see the house is full of rats. You've got many communities. I could see even Patricia joined the community. So would you still get anything if Patricia can see? Successfully so.
It's a good problem.
Where's Mr. Pandolas? Is he? Is he outside? Just get him in.
He's gone to Robben Island.
Gone to Robben Island?
Yeah.
Back outside. Let's just get hold of him. I think we've got a column. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah.
Correct.
Okay,
members, we've got to work out when we meet and how we think we want to process this matter. So I'm open for discussion or suggestions, proposals. Sakhalele?
Yes, sir. I'll propose that we meet tomorrow to allow the process of members of the board submitting their letter. Although we just also got the signal to say we must disband it. But as for the initial process that is initiated of them submitting this letter, I think it will be proper that we do so. And maybe tomorrow, then we reconvene and decide.
Ms. Kinney?
Thank you, Chairperson. I would support that we reconvene tomorrow. And that we perhaps then just bring some practical way forward after we have established the exact legality, etc., etc. Because there are still some issues that are outstanding that we just needed to have confirmation of. I think before we come to a final conclusion, we just need to get everything in writing and have a complete set of documentation to say this is the position, this one we have received the resignation of, etc., also the period of the resignation. I think that is very important because that will determine what is the way forward. Do we dissolve, which we would question because I have raised the issue of the process that could be legally challenged. I indicated yesterday, as well as in previous meetings, that we have a concern about the status of the inquiry. Yes, it is provision in the Act, but I have indicated that was our position. So because if we take the decision to dissolve, we have to be sure that we actually have no other choice to dissolve. But if we have only X number of members left, because the others' resignations are with immediate effect and they were accepted with immediate effect, it would obviously just make the way forward so much easier. So I do believe that we need to have that. We need to determine what is the status of the resignation. And then we have to come back with how are we going to ensure continuity? Because there are issues such as the PFMA, you know, the financial accountability of those people who serve in the board, etc. We need to just come back and address that. Make sure that we comply with all the legal terminology, legal sort of provision. So if you want us to make proposals about how we see the way forward right now, we would be in a position to do that. But otherwise, my suggestion is actually that we come back tomorrow and then say, let's talk about this is the current situation, this is what we've established so far, and now let's take the process forward. Because clearly, we need to intervene urgently. There was an appeal by everybody that we must move and move quickly. In fact, there were actually also questions about the fact that we have not moved yet to restore the quorum of the board. So I do believe we cannot wait any longer than tomorrow. Thank you.
Mr. Kulwani.
Chair. I think you wanted us to discuss the way forward so that we are able, because we are still going to come back and make our arguments or our understanding of the whole process which we have just went through. The proposal which we had initially, which we had put on the meeting, was that let us allow the board members to make their written submission until end of business tomorrow. I understand what developed later through Mr. Mbeki Andy, but I'm saying let us allow them to make the written submission until end of business tomorrow. Then we reconvene Friday, Chair, to reflect, pass on those submissions, and then we conclude as a committee in terms of how do we go forward. Now, Chair, the issues which are raised now of legalities and the other things are the issues, Chair, which we are going to deal with when we reconvene on Friday to go into details on those particular matters. I would want, like, Chair, to follow the line of try to argue now in terms of those issues. It won't help us, Chair. So that's the process which we propose, Chair, in going forward, so that management and the executive of the SAPC, if they want to make further written submission, they do that before end of business tomorrow, then Friday we reconvene to consider those matters and then conclude as a matter with that matter as a committee, so that the next week the matter can be seized with the next assembly. That's what we are proposing, Chair, the way forward.
I'll give you a chance to quite a few ends, Advocate Kilanga.
I want to very strongly support Mr. Kowani. Just to add that it's very important that we've committed ourselves for them to give written responses. I think clearly we can't give 2-3 weeks. But it's definitely, if there's something urgently they want to bring to our attention, they've now got the whole day today and tomorrow. And I think they should be informed to do so if they want to, so we can have that when we look at it. The second issue is, I really think we must still get the letters and all the issues that were raised around resignations and so on, because I can see how that may arise in the debate on Friday. Mm. And then lastly, I just want to say, I think the legal advisor, you know, you have to do this by way of resolution. I think you need to prepare the resolutions and so on, so that if we need to make our decisions, that we do that. I don't think we must now on Friday start saying, you know, what are we going to do, and then come back on Monday and Tuesday and so on. Whatever decisions we take, I think we've had all the information. We must take those on Friday. But I think resolutions must be prepared so that once we've made those decisions, we can take this matter forward. So I'm strongly supporting what Eric has said with those three riders, just to add them for completion's sake. Thank you.
I agree generally with the draft of the recommendations. The only thing that I'm not sure about is whether giving members of the board that want to make inputs up to the end of the day tomorrow will be fair. That's the only thing I am not sure about in my mind. Well, we know that they had, we can't grant them what they asked for 2 weeks, but at least up to Friday, 2 days, 2 full days, because I don't know what is entailed, because they did indicate that, it's not just what they will suck from their thumbs, they need to engage with management, because they are not full-time board members, they don't work for the SAPC. So retrieving the necessary information that will make us wiser here will, in the circumstances, take time. So, I don't see us closing this process by the end of this week, but perhaps by the end of next week, definitely. If we give them some time, give them some allowance so that they don't challenge us publicly that we were not really prepared to listen to their side of the story.
But I think, look, I hear what you're saying. But if you look at the contributions that were made towards the end, Mr. Roby has said on record this is her exit report, in a sense. She doesn't, I can't see a person, that person, Mr. Roby, giving any further things to this committee. If I hear what Mr. Ndeki has said, and he says, I'm speaking on behalf of the entire board, if anybody contradicts what I am saying, they must say so. So do we really believe that we're going to get stacks and stacks of documentation from people, even if we give them 7 days? Or is it really a matter that you can see? I think they've come to the conclusion themselves. And they are telling us, and there's been no dissenting voice. At least on record, there's been no dissenting voice to their own proposal, which says dissolve us. Now, we must take that decision independently. But I also don't want us to use this thing about sending documents to delay the process. Mm-hmm. I'm mindful of the fact that we've got basically next week and the week after in terms of the parliamentary program. And if we accept their proposal to dissolve them, if we take that decision either tomorrow or on Thursday, I mean Friday, then the matter has to be reported to the House. The House has to take that resolution. I don't know when the program people will put this in, depending on the program. Then it has to go to the President. That's one thing. Then the board is dissolved. But we are then going to start the next process, which is nominating 5 new members. And we have to do that also before the close of this term program. Okay. Otherwise, I mean, this, you'd have a complete crisis, absolute crisis, if we don't complete this matter before we finish, before the 7th of July, really. We will have a complete crisis then. So I am very, very reluctant to give a lot of leeway on this matter. In my mind, it's a procedural requirement. But I don't know what more can be said and presented to us other than what has been said in their own words, please dissolve us in the interest of this country. What more evidence and substance are you going to bring? Financial problems, how is it that going to alter what has really been, I think, it's a unanimous view because nobody dissented. And he repeats that question, that statement twice. So I'm very reluctant. In fact, my draft letter we said by 12 midday. Then I had all the comments and I pulled the secretary back and said, well, let's hold on. But I really want us to resolve as a committee by Friday morning. Otherwise we will have, I think, huge problems on the programming side. And then we will be sitting with a very, very serious crisis. Okay, now hold on. They've had their hands up quite some time. Bill and Fillion and Thunderbank.
Chairperson, this is also not just something for the committee here, but in terms of time tomorrow, there's the party caucuses, which you also have to bring on board and consult with. And then tomorrow afternoon, there's a full plenary because the president will be responding to his budget debate. So tomorrow is out in terms of time. I want to support that we meet on Friday. Now, when we meet on Friday, I think we then have to, after having discussed it with our caucuses, there are two choices for us now. The one is, which we have to decide on Friday. The one is, do we accept their request to be dissolved? Because then, I agree with you, it's clear that I don't think any of them will make any further submissions. Do we accept the request to be dissolved, or do we complete the process in terms of the inquiry in terms of the Act? Because if we complete that process in terms of the Act, then I will say it's reasonable to give them time to respond in writing. But can we leave that choice for Friday morning and for parties to report back and say which one of the two choices our caucus will support? And then we take it from there. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Actually, Mr. Little, this covers me. I wanted to make the same proposal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I think what we heard over the past 2 days, there are certain people on that board that can be, they can give something to the SABC. There are a lot of talented persons on that board with specific skills. And what I think, if we look at an interim board, I put it in front of the committee to sort of use some of the skills. I spoke to one specific person and asked if this person is willing to serve, for instance, on an interim board. I'm not going to say the name, but I think it's also very important that we can, there must be some skills. I don't know if you agree with me. Just to put, for instance, one person, that know the background and all the difficulties and all the potholes and everything, just to steer this interim committee through this stormachtige waters, as I can so can tell, for the interim period. And then I just want to ask Mr. Chairperson about Friday. I've got important constituency work in my constituency. So at what time do you want to convene this meeting on Friday? Because this is very important for me, and as you can understand, my constituency work is also very important for me as member of Parliament. Thank you, Chairperson.
ANC, can I just check? We've just got news that the chairperson of the chair of committees has approved a meeting slot for us for tomorrow from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. So we do have permission to meet immediately after the House adjourns. Can I get some flexibility from the ANC side on this matter? I don't know. Tomorrow morning is caucus. I said that this matter needs to go to caucus. We can't expect people to take a decision here without it being reported. So we're accepting that. But after that, you would have a clearer mandate from your parties. If we meet tomorrow afternoon, and I'm quite willing to write to them to say that they should submit their documentation if they've got anything by 12 p.m., it will give the committee time to just photocopy those documents and make it available. But if we meet at, say, 3:30 tomorrow as a committee, basically to decide on whether we accept the recommendation they have put before us or not. That's really the key decision. Now, okay, Mr. Zanga, we can discuss it. I see you're raising your hand, you're having some reservations, it's fine. I don't know if it's possible. If you think Friday morning, then are you flexible on Friday then? Because I don't want parties to be left out of this process. If you can make yourself available Friday morning, then I'll go with the ANC proposal of Friday morning.
From what
time? 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock. It's a 2-hour meeting. Will that be fine?
Yeah, that will be fine.
All right.
It depends how you feel.
Is it a point of this order or what is it? Thank you very much.
What are you doing? You were just telling you how the board behaves.
All right, so can we agree that the committee will then reconvene on Friday morning, 9 to 11, and that there will be no meeting tomorrow? Will that be accepted? That's fine. Is there any other method that can be discussed?
Maybe can I make this? I just briefly spoke with our leader here. Sorry.
Thanks, Chairperson. You will pardon me, Chairperson, but I just want to find, because this is a portfolio committee. As you were, you were talking about, the decision that has, the anonymous decision that has been taken by some of the members of the board, the decision that says they want to be dissolved. And I just noted that Mr. Mbeki also objected to Professor Chinwad's proposal to come and do her own submission, and I just want to find out as a portfolio committee how are we going to handle that situation, because I was just waiting to listen to maybe the other members of the board will say something, or Ms. Ginoza will say something, but there was no response to that. Now, legally, Honorable Johnny Dilang, I don't know whether is that going to also have a bearing on this. How are we going to edit it?
Before
I just need the information.
If Ms. Professor Gilbert wants to send anything to us, she should do it by tomorrow. We will send the letter. This is probably the company secretary. it will go to all members of the board. And if she responds within the deadline, that's fine. If she doesn't, then that's her decision. Okay. Can I ask recognition?
No, thanks, Chair. I wanted to say, you know, in terms of my understanding, is that some of members of the SABC board members, they are still advancing this point that this inquiry was for few things, but they need a broader inquiry or investigation or forensic audit where they will raise a lot of issues that is happening there at SABC. So let us differentiate this inquiry and the inquiry that Ms. Schumacher was talking about, where she wanted to expose a number of issues and a number of happenings in the SABC.
I was just wondering, in terms of the time constraints we have and in terms of Mr. Van der Berg's initiative to suggest already looking at an interim board, whether we shouldn't mandate you as the chair, and I've raised it with our leader of our delegation, to mandate you to actually start meeting with the other parties and start talking informally on what processes we can follow and how we can do these things, so on, you know, one or two from the ANC and then all the other opposition parties. Just as we start speeding up, if we don't go to Friday, we make a decision, whatever it is, and then next week we have to start looking at processes. I want to suggest that we mandate you to get the parties together and start talking informally how we take those other processes. Because it's new, we've never done it before. So it'll help us if we can get some consensus on how to do it.
I agree with that, Chairperson, because if that process could be entered into, we could hit two birds with one stone, so that at caucuses tomorrow, we could deal with those issues so that we don't have to wait for caucuses next week to agree on the interim board, because urgency is what is required in resolving issues at the SAPC.
Thank you, Chairperson.
The longest I, because the board members said they want to be dissolved. Now, as that is their clear intention. Actually, they don't want to be on the board. There was two members left, if I'm not mistaken, three members, and yeah. But so I sort of anticipated if they don't want to be part of the board, you know what the DA's position on this whole thing was, that we must fill the vacancies on the board. But I don't think it's going to work at this stage because they don't want to be on a new board. So that's the reason why I use the word interim board. Because if board members give the indication that they want to be dissolved, there's nothing else the committee can do because there's no willingness from their side. So therefore I anticipated in the direction of the interim board.
Sorry.
Chairperson, I've been having my hand for quite some time. I don't know whether this has to do with my eyes or my hand or the age.
It's got nothing to do with any of those. I just didn't see your hand.
But I think actually Mr. Sander Berg has partly covered me, because I just wanted to say from what Gloria said, it seems that she had no intention of having anything to do with this SABC issue any longer as from after today. But then I don't know what other people are thinking. The other thing is that I think we have dealt with this quite all right and progressively. I thought the way you were ending the whole thing, it was good for us. And we cannot deal with the approach you are going to be taking here. Can we agree to you that we'll be meeting on Friday?
Right. So we're taking two decisions. One is that the meeting, the committee will reconvene on Friday morning, 9 to 11. If we finish before 11, Stefan and I will go home.
don't hold me to 9 to 11. And that secondly, informally, we will already start, each party will start canvassing its own caucus around possible names, because we have to recommend 5 names, including recommending the chairperson and the deputy chairperson from the non-executive members. That's the statutory requirement. So we will start with the informal process, and that I've been mandated to meet with the party people who are here to see whether we can hammer out a set of proposals around the procedures and possibly around the names for consideration. We won't bind you to it. At the end of the day, the party is within its right to put its proposals forward, and if we can agree, that will be great. If we can't, then the normal rules of parliament will apply. Ms. Brilliant.
Thank you, Chair. Clearly, this is the one issue. It's the issue of the board and the interim board or whatever. But there's another issue. When are we going to deal with that? And that is to discuss the turnaround strategy. The minister made some proposals. The DOT made some suggestions, etc. At what stage are we going to have a look at that? Because to just move new faces into the board is not going to solve the problem. So I just wanted to know at what stage will we have an opportunity to say, as a committee, what would be the next step to determine the extent of management inefficiencies, financial constraints, mandates, all of those issues, because that needs to get onto the table.
I don't want to respond because that's going to open up a whole discussion. Mm-hmm. It's a very important issue.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, there is a shareholder, there might well be a new interim board, and we are still here.
Mm.
And nothing precludes us from calling the interim board, the future interim board, and the executive manager repeatedly to come and account to us, to report on performance. So I think there's all number of possibilities, but that really should be part of the debate. When we report to the House, we can also make proposals about what we think we should be doing. I don't want us to open that discussion right now, because it's a bigger problem. There's nobody disputes that. Okay, so can we close on that we meet on Friday, 9 to 11, true that the party starts looking at names, and that 5 names, and we have to recommend the chairperson and the deputy chairperson. The president doesn't do that, we have to recommend that. And let's see if we can get the best names possible. If we agree, I think it will be great. If not, then I know the normal procedures will be followed. And that I'll be mandated to meet with the different parties to see whether we can hammer out the procedures and the processes. Right, thank you very much, members. I think it's been a testing time, but you've been great. Thanks a million.
I'm loving you. You can
part-time
board. I'm loving you. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm doing a good job this
time. You're coming and account to us.
Thank you for the confidence.
You're going to come and account us.